Last week, the Australian Human Rights Commission announced plans to launch a world-first national inquiry into sexual harassment in the workplace. A previous survey from 2012 revealed that 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men had experienced sexual harassment at work. Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins has announced that early indications show that these rates have significantly risen since then. Eleanor Campbell asked UNSW criminology lecturer and researcher Dr. Bianca Philiborn what constitutes sexual harassment.
So the first is what we might call an experiential definition. So that's really based on the lived experience of the person experiencing the harassment. And it can really essentially constitute any unwelcome or unwanted behaviours that are sexual in nature, ranging from non-verbal actions, so things like, you know, repeated staring or, bodily gestures, verbal comments, so something like making sexual innuendo and jokes in the workplace or repeatedly asking, you know, someone out on a date. But it can also include sexualized touching and things that would constitute sexual assault and other types of sexual offences under criminal legislation. So it's really a full spectrum of behaviours.
So we know from a recent national survey that found that over 20% of Australians have experienced sexual harassment, with almost 70% of those cases occurring in the workplace. So what is it about that environment that is encouraging sexual harassment?
Yeah, so I mean, as with all forms of sexual violence, we know that the leading causes or drivers of that behaviour stem back to gender inequality and power imbalance, and that's no different within the workplace. So certainly, you know, workplaces where we see, you know, hierarchies of power, which is most workplaces, are differential access to power, differential gendered access to power. So we might see workplaces in particular that are very male dominated might be perhaps more likely to have sexual harassment occurring, although it's certainly not exclusively occurring in only one type of workplace. Adherence to very strict gender norms, again, is a leading driver of sexual harassment. So having very rigid ideas around, you know, what it means to be a man or a woman. And the other thing that's really important is workplaces where there are cultural norms that minimize, enable and excuse harassment. So where, you know, management and other people in the workplace are really turning a blind eye to harassment when it's occurring.
What are some guidelines, do you think, and practices that employers can implement to prevent and to appropriately respond to sexual harassment?
So in terms of prevention, I think firstly there's really a need to look at changing organisational cultures so that they're not actually tolerating, excusing or minimising sexual harassment in the first place. So having a clear message within the workplace that this isn't behaviour that we tolerate, it's not okay, and there's going to be consequences for you if you engage in this type of behaviour. Really supporting and encouraging people who are experiencing harassment to be able to come forward and make a complaint is so important. We know that the vast majority of people who experience harassment in the workplace never make a formal complaint. So we need to make sure that those people are supported, that they're taken seriously, and that there's confidential processes in place. Making sure that employees who make a complaint aren't punished or that they don't experience negative ramifications if they come forward, again, is really, really essential. That's another substantive barrier to reporting. And of course, ensuring that there's appropriate consequences in place for perpetrators if a case is upheld against them.
So this national inquiry will examine the current laws on sexual harassment. Do you think any changes need to be made?
Yeah, look, I'll be really interested to see what the inquiry finds on this. It's quite possible that we might see the introduction of some more guidance in the legislation around the types of circumstances that we're talking about there, that we really need to be focusing on encouraging and supporting women to come forward and report rather than addressing the legislation, because the bigger issue really is that, you know, around 1 in 5 people at the moment are actually making a formal complaint. So we need to be looking at how we can actually get people to come forward in the first place.
That was UNSW criminology lecturer and researcher Dr. Bianca Philiborn, ending that report by Eleanor Campbell.